Today's daf is Menachas Daf Lamed Tes, and we are three lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis Omar Rava. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Baruch Yitzchak Ben Shifra Miral. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas Chaim Nachman Ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak HaKoyen. So we're moving along at the beginning of Perakat Cheles, which discusses, as its name suggests, halachos related to tcheles, or more specifically, tzitzis. So we're in the middle of this epic digression in Masechtas Menachos. Masechtas Menachos began with the sugi of Shalei Lishma. We got knee-deep into sugis related to pigel, but for the last week plus, we've been learning about Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzah. Now, halachos related to tzitzis. So as a tiny bit of an introduction to today's daf, we know that our tzitzis are made up of two parts. They're made up of the braided part, and then you have the loose strings that are hanging. The makar to these two parts, quote-unquote, of the tzitzis are the two ways that the Torah describes the tzitzis. There's a pasuk that says, "Parshas Ki Seitze, Gedilim Taselach al Arba Kanfos Ksuscha Asher Techasaba." A gedil is a braid. The Torah also says in Parsha Shlach, in the Ikar Parsha of Tzitzis, "Darbel Bnei Yisrael v'Amar Taleim Vasulahem Tzitzis al Kanfei V'Gdeim L'Dayroisam V'Nosnu al Tzitzis Hakonof Psil Techelas." A psil is a string that hangs loosely. It's because the Torah describes the tzitzis as gedilim, and the Torah describes the tzitzis as a pasil. We know that the tzitzis have to be made up of these two parts. Now, specifically, the way we make our tzitzis today is we take the corner of the baget, we make a hole, and then we put four chutin through that hole. Once the four chutin are through the hole, you end up having, really, eight chutin. We tie a knot. We make four sets of these gedilim, of these braids. We tie knots in between each set of these braids. And then afterwards, what you have is beneath that lowest knot, which ironically the Gemara refers to as the Kesher Elyon, you end up having eight strings that are flowing loosely. Regardless, tzitzis are made up of gedilim, tzitzis are made up of pesilim. This mitzias is very much going to play itself out in today's daf. And with that tiny bit of an introduction, says the Gemara, Amar Rava. Rava said, Shma mina. We see from here, so from where? So for that, we had to have learned yesterday's daf 7.5 years ago, 2 days ago. But the bottom line is that the Gemara had brought that the Bnei Rav Chiya said that as it relates to the shear of tzitzis, even though lechatchila there is some shear, but gardume tzitzis akasher. B'dievet, as long as you have a little tiny bit of tzitzis, that in and of itself is going to be okay. So Rava said, from the fact that gardume tzitzis is kasher, you know what I see? Tzorech likshar al kol chulya v'chulya. It's inevitable that you have to make a knot in between each chulya. So what's a chulya? A chulya is a borrowed term. In the vernacular, a chulya usually is referring to as a vertebrae. In this case, each set of gedilim, each set of knots is referred to as an individual chulya. Says Rava that I see from the Bnei Rav Chiya, after you make each little chulya, you have to go ahead and you have to tie a knot. Why? Because if you're going to tell me you don't have to, this is what the Bnei Rav Chiya said. Gardume tcheles kesherim v'gardume eiz of kesherim. Specifically, that the gardumim of tcheles, and it's lav dafka tcheles, right? Tcheles sometimes is just code word for tzitzis. So from the fact that tzitzis is kosher, even if you have gardumin, l'chayra, kivin de ishtirilei kula. If you're going to tell me that you don't have to have a knot in between each chulya, and the only knot you have to have is the Eloi knot, which we mentioned earlier, that's the Kesher Elyon, which counterintuitively is the lowest one, the one farthest away from the corner of the baguette. But the bottom line is, if that's the only Kesher that you have, then by the time you have Gardume, there's no way you're going to have that Kesher. Right? Because Gardume is a very small shear. And because it's a very small shear, so for sure, if you have the Kesher Elyon, then you have more than Gardume. So if you have Gardume, by definition, you don't have the Kesher Elyon. And if you don't have the Kesher Elyon, well, that means you don't have Gedilim, because you don't have any ksharim. And that's poshet that Bnei Rav Chiya couldn't hold, that you could have kosher tzitzis that have no chulya, that have no gedil at all. And the reason is because the Torah describes tzitzis as being psil. Yeah, you have to have the string, but you also have gedilim tasalach. You also have to have the gedil. So when the Bnei Rav Chiya said that gardume are kosher, there's no way they meant that it could be kosher without having any gedil. That's not tenable. And if all you have is gardume, that means you have very little. For sure you don't have the kasher elyon. Must be there's some kasher above that that you do have. And if that's the case, zoysei meres, that just having the kasher elyon is not okay. What do you have to have? Tzarech liksha kol chulya v'chulya. You have to have ksharim between each individual chulya. Now the truth is that the Rishonim speak out that you have no raya from here that you have to have a kesher in between each chulya. All you see is that the kesher elyon itself is not enough. Maybe what you would have to have is the kesher tachton, or what we would intuitively think as the kesher elyon. Maybe what you would have to have is that one kesher, right, as when you put the four strings through the corner of the baguette, and then afterwards, or maybe wait one little chulya and then make the kasher, right? Because you have to have at least one chulya. So you're going to make one chulya, then you're going to make the kasher, and that's going to be fine. Mehecha teisi bein chulya v'chulya. We'll see soon, there's four chulya. So mehecha teisi, between each chulya, you have to have a kasher. So that the Rishonim already say that to the extent that it's not enough to have the kasher elyon, you have to have another one, and we know you have to have four chulya, so it's mustabe how many you're going to have is four. You're going to probably have one in between each. But the bottom line is, said Rava, again, this is a technical point, that from the fact that you see gardume tcheles is kosher, that's a raya tzorach liksha kol chulya v'chulya, but the Gemara says there's no raya, because it could be dilma de ikter. Meaning, could be you don't have to have a kesher bein chulya v'chulya, and if all you have is the kesher elyon, that in of itself is going to be kosher. But enochinami, in a situation where all you had was the kesher elyon, and now you're left with the gardumim, then a taka will be possible because you don't have any gdilim, and that's taka an issue. The Bnei Rav Chiya said gardume tcheles akasher. They were discussing a case hacha b'mayaskina where I did have a kesher being called chulya v'chulya. Meaning you have no raya from here that you have to have a kesher. You would only have a raya that you have to have a kesher if you knew for a fact that in every single case, gardume tcheles akasha. But I can tell you maybe there are times that gardume tcheles atak are going to be possible. When are they going to be possible? When all I had was a kasher elyon. Because really all I need maybe is the kasher elyon. And a chinami, but when all I have is the kasher elyon, then the gardume are going to be possible. Where was in a geya gardume tcheles kasher? Where I had taka, a kasher, al kol chulya v'chulya. But it doesn't mean you always have to have a kasher al kol chulya v'chulya. When I have a kesher al kol chulya v'chulya, then it'll be negei that locha gardume tcheles kasher. But I taka don't have to have the kesher al kol chulya v'chulya. And when I don't have it, then enochinami gardume tcheles will be possible. V'omar Rava. Another thing that Rava said. Shema mina. You see, kesher elyon da'iraisa. That the kesher elyon is a din da'iraisa. Because if you're going to tell me that the kesher elyon is only the rabbanon, I mean, this whole idea of having a kesher is not even mandated in the Torah. Just the whole concept of tying the tzitzis. That's something that's mid rabbanon. That my itzterich lemishre sadin betzitzis. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that kalayim betzitzis is kosher? Pshita, it's poshet. Hatoykev kifa achas einoy chibor. If somebody just sews one stitch between tzemer and pishnim together, it's not considered a chibor. He didn't violate the iser shatness. So why do I need a limud? We'll see in a second what that limud is. To tell me that kalayim betzitzis is kosher. Why would I think not? There's no issue bechlal. Elishmamina must be deiraisa. It must be that there's a chiv to have a kesher midairaisa. I mean that there's a chiv to have a kesher midairaisa. So when you make tzitzis, you're not a toikev tkifa achas. You're actually being mechaberit hodik hetev hetev hodik. And as a result, it's for that reason you need a limud of kalayim betzitzis being kasher. So what exactly is the limud of kalayim betzitzis kasher? So I think, going out on a limb here, this is from the most famous drushes in Shas, and that is, it says in the Torah, leisilba shatnes, in aleda, we're shatnes, tzemer upishtim yachtov, and the very next pasuk says, gedilim tasaloch, al arba kanfois ksuscha asher techasava, and from the smichus of the lav of shatnes, and the mitzvahs essay of tzitzis we learn, that although there's an Isser Shatnez, but if Shatnez ever collides with Tzitzis, that say of Tzitzis is going to be Deicha the Lois HaSeh of Shatnez. This is the Makar to the Halacha Revach of Yisrael that S is Deicha Lois HaSeh. What is the source? The source is that the mitzvah saseh of tzitzis is doicha the lois saseh of shatnez. Truth is, there is another source, and that is mila b'tzaras, but again, this is not the sugya now. But the ikur makar in shas, ayin, yavam estaf gimel, and dalet, and hey and vav, is from the fact that the Torah made a smichos between the mitzvah saseh of tzitzis and the lois saseh of shatnez. We learn from here that if I ever have a tension between an essay and a lois saseh, the essay is always going to take precedence. By the way, this idea that we darshan the smuchim of the Isser Shatnez and the essay of tzitzis, this takes us back to Chumash here in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. That's the Abar Ben El Zarichos right in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, which we saw is also mefurish in Ibn Ezra, and it's also mefurish in the Ramban, which is that Yesh Seder b'mishpatei HaTorah. Right, when the Torah mentions halachis, it's not random, but there's a very, very precise, nuanced methodology to the way and into the order in which the Torah presents all the mishpatei HaTorah. So if the Torah said shatnez and then immediately after said tzitzis, there's a cheshbon to that. And the cheshbon is to teach me one of the most important halachas of Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? How many sugis does this underpin? And that is that aseh is going to be doicha loisei. But Rava said like this, for the fact that we need a drasha that aseh is doicha loisei, to me, there's a mayor de ganayas over here. Why? Because I see from here that to tie the tzitzis to the beged must be a deiraisa. Because if it's not a deiraisa, then where exactly, when I use a kalayim betzitzis, am I being over the iser shatnes? Hatoykif tkifa achas ein chibur. And if that's not a chibur, so I'm anyways not being over the iser shatnes. Must be that when you make tzitzis, you mechaber them very, very much together. And being that you mechaber them together, so you see from here that kesher elyon deiraisa. By the way, Rashi says, you see from here kesher elyon deiraisa, maybe kesher tachtin deiraisa. So here too, Rashi says kesher elyon lav dafka. But the point is that you see from here a kesher is something that is mandated, because otherwise there would be no iser shatnes in the first place. We'll get back to more about this in the course of the das. Amar Rabba bar Rav Ado, Amar Rav Ado, Amar Rav. Im nifsa kachut. So it's really going back to yesterday's daf. The Gemara was talking about if your tzitzis tear, so how much tzitzis do you have in order for it to be okay? So Rabba bar Rav Ada said in the name of Rav Ada, okay, is that his father? Rabba bar Rav Ada said in the name of Rav Ada, who said in the name of Rav, that im nifsa kachut meikar epsula, that even if the entire chut, you lost a complete chut, even then, then the halach is it's going to be possible. Yes, Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman was sitting, v'ka'om al ha-shmaiti, and he said over this halacha that Rabba bar Rav Ada said in the name of Rav Ada, that said in the name of Rav, that if you don't have the chut at all, it's going to be possible. And Rav Nachman was saying it over, right? Made a lot of sense to him. Isvei Rav Rav Nachman. So Rav asked Rav Nachman Akasha from a when are there shiurim as it relates to how much tzitzis you have to have? That's betchila. When you make the tzitzis, you fashion them. So then, in the manufacturing facility, there's a shiur of how much tzitzis you have to have. But once you make kosher tzitzis, if you lose some of it, shiurav v'gardumav kosher. Shiurav v'gardumav, you have some shirayim, kosher, that in of itself is going to be enough. So Rava told Rav Nachman, my shiurav and my gardumav. Right, shiurav sounds like shirayim, gardumav is that little stub, right? So l'chayra, it seems to be repetitive. What's shiurav and what's gardumav? My love, shiurav is the ifsik minayu v'ishtayur minayu. Shiurav means where something's left over, and gardumav is the igardim igardumi, when even nothing is left over. But what do you see from here? Abu b'soyv shiurav gardumav kolshu, right? Long as there's nothing there, even is in and of itself going to be okay. But the bottom line is that from the fact that we mentioned shiurav and gardumav l'chayr means that it's kasha even if nothing is there. Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman, this is a kasha. And where Rabbi Bar Avad send the name of Rav, who send the name of Rabbi, the Gemara says lo yichado ketani. The way you're supposed to read this is not the shiurav and gardumav; it's two things, and one is talking about where something's left over, and something the other one's talking about where it was legamri nifsak. But rather, the way you're supposed to read it is shiura gardumav. Of kosher, that if you have this shiur gardumav, and okay, you have to have a kosher, you have to have something, that's when it's going to be kosher. So then, why are you saying two things? Why are you saying Shir V'Gardumov? Just say Gardumov, and I'll know Gardumov, I'll know Kolshu, I know I have to have a little something. So I'll know Nifsek Mikara is Pasul, and only if something's left over, it's Kosher. Mar says, how come Ash Malon? No, the reason we mentioned Shiyur Gardumov to teach me that even a Kolshu is not enough, but rather the Binan Shiyur the Gardumov Ketela Anvon, like we saw in yesterday's daf, you have to have enough to be able to tie a knot. So it's not even enough that you have a Kolshu Mamish. It has to be a drop more, it has to be Ketela Anvon. So really, it's not Shiyurov and Gardumov, it's Shiyure Gardumov. What's the point in saying Shiyure? It's to bring out that you have to have a little bit more than I would have thought. I would have thought Gardumov is Mamesh Akolshu, it's even the Lashon Abraisa, Kamash Malon, it has to be a little bit more than that. Yosef Rabba Vekame Vishmeid Rav. Rabba was once sitting, he said up in the name of Rav, Chut Shal Kerech, Oyle Min Aminyan. So, going back to the tzitzis making process for a minute. So you take the four strings, you put them through the corner of the beged, the hole, two holes, and you fold the four strings over, you end up with eight strings. You tie a knot, that's the kesher tachtoin, ironically, not the kesher elyon, and then you have to start making braids. Now, how are you going to make braids? So what you do is you make that one of the chutim should be longer than the other chutim, and that's the one that does the hakufas, right? That's the one that does the kratzeling. That's the one that does the braiding. Which means, by the way, if you think about it, that how many of the chutin are going to be encircled? It's not eight, it's seven, right? Because of the eight, one of them is actually doing the circling. It's for that reason, it would have been a havamina, that maybe when you make your tzitzis, you should have to have nine chutin. Because maybe the mechayiv of eight is that eight of them should be encircled. And if that's the case, the one that's being makif should not be Oilem and Aminyan, right? I could hear that argument. It's because of that very intuitive havamina that we have this ensuing discussion amongst the G'dayli Amayram. So let's see, a little bit of drama. Yosef Rabba v'kama b'shmeid Rav. Rabba was sitting and he was saying over in the name of Rab, Chut shal kerech oilem en aminyin. He came lohoitzi miliban shal svarazu. And that is that the chut that does the hakafa, it's considered to be one of the eight. You don't need eight in addition to that. Even though only seven are being geringled. It's fine. That's okay. Amalei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef told Rabba, what you're saying over in the name of Rav, Shmuel Amra v'loi Rav. It's not Rav. Rav did not say it. Shmuel said it. Itmar Nami. We have a Messiah that Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Sochli Rab Yoshia de Min Usha. I heard from Rab Yoshia de Min Usha, and it's interesting, but the Girsa on the side of the Gemara is Mishmei de Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel, that Chut Shel Kerech Olam and Aminyan, that the Chut of the Kerech, that Makiv is Olam and Aminyan. Now, what's the basis to speak out that other Girsa? Because otherwise, what's the Itmar Nami? Right? It seems like we have a discussion over here. Machlik is Rab and Rav Yosef. Did Rav say it? Or did Shmuel say it? Rab said that Rav said it. Rav Yosef said that Shmuel said it. Itmar Nami. That what? That Rav Yosef de Min Usha said it. That's not an Itmar Nami. That's just an Itmar Nami on the Shita. We know the Shita. We're not trying to prove the Shita. Either Rav said it or Shmuel said it. Maybe even they both said it. Who knows? But the bottom line is that what's the Manami. Oh, the teretz is the new girsa. Mishmei dishmul. It's an Manami to Rav Yosef said the like your Rabbi Yosef, Rabba. Another story. Me inyan le inyan very much. But Isa inyan. Rabba was sitting with Mishmei dishmul. This time he said over not in the name of Rab. He said over in the name of Shmul. Tcheles shekarach rubak shera. In the event that you have tcheles. By the way, this is one of the examples. Rashi says that tcheles doesn't mean literally the tcheles, but over here tcheles just means the tzitzis. So in the event that you have tzitzis, and most of the tzitzis were karach. So you have akafis on most of the tzitzis. We'll see more how many of these akafis you actually make. But if your tzitzis are the majority karach, the halachas, it's still going to be kasha. What's the chiddush? So we'll see soon that there's actually a formula that's supposed to be used lechatchila, and that is 1/3 of it should be with hakofes, meaning 1/3 gedilim, and then 2/3 psilim. So what Rabbi was saying in the name of Shmuel, that even though lechatchila there's a certain ratio that you're supposed to abide to, but chela shekarach ruba is going to be kasha. Only Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef told him just the opposite. Rabbi, I'm Rabbi Shmuel. So in the first case, Shmuel like Rabbi. Here's Rabbi Shmuel. Itmar Nami, Amar Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheches, Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Rabbi, Amar Rav. Here's before Shia. We don't have to go to the side of the world to get the gear. So chela shekarach ruba ksheira. And Chanami, like Rabbi Yosef had it. So both times it's Itmar Nami ki Rabbi Yosef. And the first time Rav Yosef said, Shmuel said, Im anami derech Shmuel. It ran, in this case, that it's Rav Chiya b'reid Rav Nassim masni hachi. Rav Chiya b'reid Rav Nassim had a different formulation that. The Itmar Nami was Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheches, Amar Rav Yirmiya Baraba, Amar Rav. Tremendous amount of names. Tchela Shakarach Ruba Ksheira. That Tchela Shakarach Ruba is going to be kasha. Additionally, in this Itmar Nami, he continued. He said, I feel like Karach Ba'eluchul Yachas Ksheira. That, again, Tchela Shakarach Ruba is kasha. And even if it was only one chulya, it's still going to be kasha. So our tzitz is, if you just take a look, you'll see there's four chulyas. But if you had one, it's going to be fine. V'noye tcheles, but the noy, the mehudadig way to do it is shlish gedil, it should be one-third gedil, shnei shlishei anaf, and two-thirds should be psil, v'kama shir chulya. Okay, what is the shir of the chulya? Tanya Rebbe, Yami Rebbe said, g'dei sheyichroich v'yishne v'yishalesh, three loops, that is the shir. So if you don't have three, it's not going to be okay. Now if you look at your tzitzis, Rebbe's tzitzis have a lot more than three, right? But the bottom line is, this is the ikar adin shir. How many of these takofas do you have to have three? Tano, stating that we learned to the Braisa. Ha poiches lo yivches mishefa, that if you want to be a poiches, right, you're not looking to do more than you have to do. I'm a minimum guy. Ha poiches lo yivches mishefa, v'am moisef, and if you want to go maximum, lo yosef al shloish esre, you shouldn't have more than 13. So the shear is between 7 and 13, and the Gemara explains, ha poiches lo yivches mishefa, if you want to be poiches, you shouldn't have less than 7, k'neged shavir k'neged the 7 heavens. V'am moisef lo yosef al shloish esre, and if you want to be moisef, you shouldn't have more than 13, Keneged Shiva Rikim, it's Keneged the seven heavens, Veshisha Avirim Shabinayim, and the six Avirs, obviously, that are in between the heavens. So, Poiches lo Yivches Misheva, Vahamoisef lo Yosef al Shloish Esrei. So, two things. Number one, Smachlik is Rashi and Toysfis, how to learn Pash Pshan in this Braisa. Rashi says that what the Braisa is talking about is the amount of Chulyos. That's what we're talking about. So, how many Chulyos do you have to have? Right, so we mentioned before, one chulya is going to be okay. Drive the bag of this chulya, it's also going to be okay. What's tachlis? What's the share? And that's what the Braisa is coming to say. So there's a minimum of 7 chulyas and a maximum of 13 chulyas. If you look at your tzitzis, again, pashtis, that's not what your tzitzis look like. You probably have 4 chulyas. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says we're not talking about the amount of chulyas, we're talking about the amount of loops, the amount of ksharim, the amount of akafas they have in each individual cholya. It should be no less than 7 or more than 13, and if you look at tzitzis, that's exactly the way our tzitzis have. There's a formula, it goes higher and higher, but the bottom line is, right, 7, 9, 11, and 13, but it starts with 7 and it concludes with 13, and it's based on this inyan of apoiches lo yivches mishiva, v'ham moisef lo yosef mishloish esrei. Now, what's the chesed of 7 and 13? So it's keneged derikiyim. There's 7 heavens, and if you add the 6 avir in between, there's going to be 13. What shaykhis? Ma inyan tzitzis, etzel the Rikian, Sarashi, quoting a Gemara that's coming up in a couple of days, says, it's based on the fact that the Gemara says that why did the Torah choose the color of Tcheles? It's because Tcheles daimel yam, yam daimel Rikian, etc., etc. And when a person sees the color of Tcheles, it's supposed to bring him to Yerushalayim. That's what's supposed to come through Tcheles. Specifically how? Because through the Tcheles, you're going to think of the Rikian. So Zok Rashi, we see already that there's a Sheiches between Tzitzis and the heavens. The whole color of Tcheles is related to that. So it's for that reason you have the symbolism of Shamayim. Ha-poiches le-yivches mi-sheva va-mois le-yitzvah shalish esrei. It's like you see clearly, Urisa Moise, he's supposed to look at your tzitzit, he's supposed to be mizboinen. You see the color, you see the chulyas, right? Your mamish being ma'ayin in it to such a level that it's going to bring you to this meyredigah, madrega of Yireh Shamayim. Another braisa, tano, kishu maschel, when the person making the tzitzit starts making these hakafas, maschel b'lavan, he starts with the lavan. How do you know that? Because it says hakonof, min konof, ukeshu mesayim, and when he concludes, mesayim belovan. He's also mesayim belovan. How do you know that? Because mayim bekodesh v'loy mayridim. So what exactly does this mean? So today, when we make tzitzis, assuming you don't wear tcheles, which is a whole another discussion for another day, Be'ez Hashem next week, habolenu l'tayva. But for now, when a person makes tzitzis, assuming you're not wearing tcheles, so you're going to have one chut that's going to be longer, and that's the chut that's going to make the wrinkles. For people that wear tcheles, you need two chutim that are making wrinkles. And the reason is because you need the gedilim of the chut alavon, and you also need it from the tcheles. So eventually, essentially, you're going to have two chutim that are being makif. Says the Braisa, which chut should I be makif with first? Should I first be makif with the chut alavan, or should I first be makif with the chut atchilas? That's what this Braisa is addressing. Tano, kishu mascha mascha b'lavan. You should start with the lavan. You know why? Kutza says, hakonof, dabra b'nei yisrova, amar talem v'asulem tzitzis, al kanfe v'gdeim l'day roysam, v'nosno al tzitzis, hakonof psil tchilas. Now, this goes back really to yesterday's daf. We'll see more about this in Amud Beis. But from the word hakonof, we learn min konof. That is an inyan that the chutim of the tzitzit should be the same min, the same material as the beged. The next words are psil tchilas. And from there we learn tchilas. But what does it say first? First it says min konof, and then it says tchilas. The assumption is your beged that you're wearing is not made of tchilas. What then is it? It's probably lavan, or you know, whatever color it is. But the point is that your tzitzis are going to be the same min as the beged itself that you are wearing. More than that, the tcheles was made of wool, right? The tcheles was made of wool. The beged that you're wearing is presumably not wool, it's probably some other material, which means that the akonof min konof, the chutin that you're going to attach to it are going to be of that other material. So if it's cotton, if it's pishna, whatever it might be. But the bottom line is, it's probably going to be from that other min. So the Torah mentioned first the akonof min konof, and then it mentioned the tcheles. So I learned from there that loy mishpat abcheira, first you have to operate with the akonof min konof, which is the chut halavan. It's going to be the same material as the actual beged. And then afterwards, you have this very unique, special chut that you attach to it. That's tcheles. That's probably not the min konof. That goes second. But here's the problem. The problem is that there is an inyan of ma'ila b'kodesh v'lo meridin. So if I started on a high, even though apparently I made a turn, I went to the tcheles. It's interesting, the tcheles is the meridin. But I'm going to end up back on the high again. So I'm going to have to end up with the lavan. So I start with the lavan because I kind of min konof. And I have to end with the lavan because I can't end with the tcheles. That's not a tenable solution because ma'ilam b'kodesh v'loim meridin. Rav v'rabba barbrachana v'yasv. Rav v'rabba barbrachana in one city. Have a kacholik v'azal who governed. There was a person that passed by. As they're sitting, the michsi glima, the kula tcheltav. This person was wearing a glima that was 100% tcheles. The entire talis was tcheles. Okay. V'rami le tchelta. And this person had tchelta. Rashi said tzitzis on the bottom of his beggar that was kula tcheles. And it was gedilya migdal. The entire tzitzis that he had was gedil. What's the point? If you look at the top Rashi, kol tzitzis hoyse gedil le shayba anav klal. There were no strings hanging. All it was braids. The whole thing was gekratzel. There was nothing on the bottom. Oh my, Rav saw this. Rav is a shaskin, doesn't talk a lot. Rav said, yoi glima v'lo yoi tchelta. He said, it's a nice beged, a shiny beged. This person has a beautiful beged, but his tzitzis are lousy, right? V'lo yoi tchelta. He has no strings. And what kind of tzitzis are these? Rav Barbachano was also sitting there. He said, yoi glima. Apparently this was a nice beged. He said, yoi glima v'yoi tchelta. And he has nice tzitzis also. Nothing wrong with the tzitzis, Rav. Talk to Rabbi Michael Mifflin. What's the machloikis? Now, it's pretty obvious what the machloikis is. Machloikis is the tzitzis have to have strings in it. Now, they have to have strings, but the question, could the entire thing be braided? Or do you have to have the loose fringes on the bottom? Right, tzitzis are fringes. If you don't have the fringes, it's like a chasam and a sefer. But this is the shayla over here. Rav said that you have to have the fringes. Rabbi Barbachana seems to say you don't have to. That even though it's in ganzen gedilo migdal, it's still yoy tchelta. So Gemara bosset the machlekes. Rabbi Barbachana summer. Rabbi Barbachana holds ksiv. It says gedil. Fixiv and it says pisil. Right, we went through these psukim in the introduction to the daf. Gedilim tasalok. It says gedil. And then it says, V'nasnal tzitzis akonof psil tcheles. Gedil means the braids, the psil means the fringes. So what do you see from the fact that the Torah gives two options? Zok Rabbi Barbarachana, oy gedil oy psil. One or the other is okay. That's why Rabbi Barbarachana said, yoy glibil yoy tchelta. It's fine the fact that he doesn't have the psil. Rav Sava Rav holds, lo oylam psil be'ina. No, from the fact that the Torah says gedil, and from the fact that the Torah says psil, I learn not other, but I learned baita. I learned that you have to have both. You have to have a gedil, and you have to have a psil. Now, these next 2.5 lines are very, very tricky. We'll read the words first. Vahu gedilim. Why does it say gedilim? Leminyana hu da'asa. It's coming to teach me the amount of gedilim, and really, the amount of chutim that you have to have. What do you see from the word gedil, the amount of chutin you have to have? Because gedil is shnaim, gedil is a braid. A braid, by definition, has to be made up of two chutin, because you can't braid one chut. It's not a braid. It's not the chefts of a braid. And if it says, not gedil gedilim, I know arba, I say gedil upa yisrael mitaychai. And from there I learn that you have to have four psilim, and from there I learn also you have to have four gedilim. Either way, so what is the machlaikis? We'll tease this apart. Rabbi Barbachana, who said that it's okay to only have a gedil, it's because the Torah said gedilim tasalach. It says psil, but it also says gedil. So I learned either this one or that one. Right? I have two individual psukim that describe the tzitzis in two ways. What does it sound like? It's multiple choice. I could go option A, I could go option B. Maybe I could do all of the above also, that's fine. But option A is an option, and option B is an option. Rav says, no, the way you tie up these two psukim is like the Gemara sometimes refers to as yagid olav reyoy. They complement each other. And it's only all the above. It's only choice C. I have to have psi the gedil, and I have to have psi the psil. Right? Pasha, it's a shayla, I had to tie these two psukim. Are they two options, or are they complementing each other? But if you learn the Gemara carefully, when Rav responded to what Rabbi Bar Bachana said, he said, "Oy gedil, oy psil." Rav saval oylem psil beinan, and he added two lines: "Vahu gedilim leminyanahu daasa." And from the word gedilim, I learned the minyan of four chutim: gedil shnayim, gedilim arba. What does that have to do with this conversation? Ma inyan shmita itzal har Sinai. It almost feels like you shouldn't be gairus, these two lines. It doesn't seem to have any flow, any shaykhs, what we're talking about. So if you take a look at the Shita Mekubetzes, Shita Mekubetzes asks his kasha, brings up Hashem, the Bali Taisus and the Rishonim, and he says two terutzim. We'll just mention the second teretz. And that is that Zokta Shita Mekubetzes, that what Rav was doing by bringing this drasha, he was proving that you can't look at Gedil and Psil as two complete individual options that are not talking to each other. As if I can make tzitzis this way, or I can make tzitzis that way. Can't be that subshat. You know why? Because we know you have to have four chutin. And you know what the makar to four chutin is? It's learned from the pasuk that says gedilim tasalach. And I know from there that even the psil sugya is four, right? If you're going to tell me they're two individual parshias, so then you would ask yourself, how do I know that if I want to make the tzitzis only psil, which according to Rabbi Barachana would be okay, four would be the shir, maybe it's only four when it's gedilim. That is the makar. The makar is gedil gedilim. So grab from the fact that the makar is gedil gedilim, and it's true in all situations, must be irav parshias kasuv kan. Right? Must be that you have to be ma'arav the parshias. Oh, if you're ma'arav the parshias, that's a right, that I'm right. It's a little dachuk in Pshat in the Gemara, but the sheet of Ayin Shom, it's right here on the page. Much as he struggles, what do these two lines mean? What exactly is Rav coming to fan for? Either way, it's not the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Mishmei de Levi in the name of Levi. Chutei tzemer poitim mishal pishtan. Chutei tzemer pater a beggar of pishtan. So in the event that somebody has a beggar that's made of pishtan, it's made of linen, and he puts chutim of tzemer on it, the halacha is the tzitzis are going to be okay. So what's the background to this halacha? The background is that the Gemara, in yesterday's daf, we saw it already very, very briefly on the bottom of Amud Aleph, said that from the fact that the Torah says that you should put the tzitzis ha-kanof, right, v'nosno al tzitzis ha-kanof, we learn from there min-kanof, that the material of the chutim should be the same as the material of the actual beggar. Ha-kanof, min-kanof. Stating that, there's one very obvious exception to that rule. That is the tcheles. Why? The tcheles was blue. It was also wool. It was blue wool. I mean, these are these parshias, right? We're holding the sugi of tcheles now. Perikat tcheles. Tcheles was blue wool. If you have blue linen, that's not tcheles, right? If you have blue silk, that's not tcheles. Blue polyester is not tcheles. Blue wool is tcheles. Just like tcheles means blue, so too tcheles means wool. Tcheles is blue wool. Which means that if I'm wearing a beged, a pishtim, for sure I'm going to have some wool on my tzitzis that's going to satisfy my obligation to wear tzitzis. It's for that reason that Shmuel said that it's pasha to me that even if my chutei lovan would be made of tzemer, and my beged was made of pishtim, it would be okay. And the reason is like a migul. Right, the other migu that we always talk about, not the Bava Metzia, Dav Gimel and Dalet migu, the other migu. And that is that there's an idea that being that you find that wool has the ability to pater this baguette, even though it's not Hakanaf Minkanaf. So once you find that wool can pater it, albeit with that one tcheles, so too the wool's going to be able to pater it with regards to the chute lovin as well. Migu that it works for the tcheles, it's also going to work for the lovin. That's the methodology. But the bottom line is, that's pashit. Even though there's a halach of akonof minchonof, a bechutei tzema poitim mishal pishtam. What was not pashit? Ibayluhu, but what Shmuel was not sure about was, shal pishton mahu sheyiftru b'shal tzemer. Could pishtim pater tzemer or not? Now, at first glance, this should be dead on arrival. Why should pishtim be able to pater tzemer? We have a migu, a shtikl teira, why tzemer should pater pishtim? Migu, that the tchelos does, so the lovin will also. But in the reverse, what should even be pashut pshat? Oh, so that we have to see the Gemara innovating. The Gemara explains. Tzemer b'shal pishtin hu the patar. Is it tafke the tzemer that paters the pishtin, like we just spoke out? Given the tchelos patar, lovin ami patar, because it is migu. If the tchelos could do it, so the lovin could also. Ava pishtin b'tzemer loy, but mechteis a pishtin b'tzemer. I do more. Maybe, given the chsiv loy silba shat nesemru pishtin yachtov. And the very next pasuk is, g'dilim tasalach. So we learn from there a drasha. You know what the drasha is? That loy shna tzemer b'pishtin v'loy that Semer always has the ability to pater, and Pishtim also always has the ability to pater. So, yeah, Semer, we knew even without the Strasha, might have a Yichus Agav the Tcheles, but it could be Pishtim also has a Yichus. And by the way, it could be Semer has even a different Yichus, right? Because once Pishtim has this Yichus, then Semer, you don't have to come on to the Migo. You have this Alba Yichus. And that is from a Smichus Apsokim, from the fact that it says, Lysnil Bashan is Semeru Pishtim Yachtov, and then it says, Gdilim Tasalach. Maybe from there I learned that Semer and Pishtim are always going to be Pater. Now, this Smichus is the Makar Tasei Techleis, like we spoke about earlier, but maybe this is Eichat Adrasha. Maybe from the Smichus I know it's always going to work. Zok the Gemara, this is a Geshmak Eshaila, Toshma, a very straightforward Pshitos. Amar Rechava, Amar Rav Yehuda, Chutei Tzemer, Poitrim B'shal Pishton. We knew that, that was Pshito. V'shal Pishton, Poitrim B'shal Tzemer, Mamish, this Ibaya. So it's Mefurish that Rav Yehuda said, Rochel Bitcha Aktana, that just like Tzemer Patas Pishton, so to Pishton Patas Tzemer. Now Rav Yehuda added one line that's going to be Malavas through the remainder of the Daf. He continued, did Rav Yehuda, this is all Rav Yehuda talking. Again, we brought this Toshma for the first part of Rav Yehuda. Latter part is chutei tzemer upishtim poitrim b'chol makom, that chutei tzemer and pishtim always have the ability to pater. Okay, va'afilu b'shirayin, and even if the beged is made up of shirayin, it's made up of silk, even then it's going to be okay. So says the Rav Yehuda, this last line, that once you have Tzemer upishtim, you could even be ma'ariv them together, right? You could even put them together. Chutei tzemer upishtim, they're going to pater everything, and even shirayim. So again, review this at two things. He said, tzemer paters pishtim, pishtim paters tzemer. And then he said, tzemer upishtim are poichim b'chol makim. And it even sounds like, not only could tzemer pater anything, or could pishtim pater anything, but it even sounds like tzemer upishtim, yachtov, would have the ability to pater everything. And it's that knach that segues into the next line. So the Gemara, pligid Rav Nachman, it's not like Rav Nachman. Dom Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman said, hashirayim, says that shirayim, a beged that's made of silk, Rashi says meshi, is poter minatzitzes. Okay, so if Rav Nachman said that shirayim is poter minatzitzes, must be that what? Must be that, first of all, you're poter minatzitzes, so you don't even need the tzemer and the pishtin to pater. But it's even more than that. Even if you wanted to go ahead and put tzitzis, you wouldn't be able to put semeru pishtim yachtov. Because when you put semeru pishtim yachtov, it's shatnes. And the only reason it's okay to put shatnes on your beged that has dal kamfos is because you'd be making the mitzvah tzitzis, and I say is the chalos, I say. But to the extent that shirayim is pturim and not tzitzis, so there's no chi of tzitzis, that means there's no mitzvah eser, then there's no tchia, so there's no way in the world chutei semeru pishtim would be allowed to be put on a beged shel shirayim. Must be Rav Nachman is not like Rav, which is fine. Rav Yehuda is an amir. Rav Nachman is also an amir, right? So that's okay that it's a plegid to Rav Nachman. But isvei Rav the Rav Nachman. But Rav asked Rav Nachman, I know you're allowed to be the like Rav Yehuda, but you're not allowed to be the like a braisa and have a braisa that seems to be not like you. Ashirayim, va'akelech, va'sarikin. These are all different types of silks. Kulach hayavim b'tzitzes. They're all chayvin tzitzes. Huh? Checkmate. Hashirayim p'turim b'natzitzes. Here it says chayavim b'tzitzes, but then where it says midrabanan. You know what it means? It means midrabanan. look at the sefer of that price of a kulon semer pishtan poiter mehen. With regards to all these situations, side semer and side pishtan have the ability to paten. If you look at Rashi, kasolka daitoch shnei chutin semer v'shnei chutin shalavim. Meaning, you could take semer and pishtan, like we said earlier, and you could be ma'ar of them together. Even that's going to have the ability. Yeah, pishtan, day raisa, geshmak, pishtan, if you're going to tell me that shirayim, and kelech, and srik, and these types of silks, achayim, and sitzes, midday raisa, hainu de mishtrubu kalayim. Then I understand why the sefer, the raisa, could say that if you want to take semer and pishtan, yachtov, and put it, that's going to be fine. El, yamr de rabbanon. But if you're going to tell me that what? That these silks are only chayiv and sitzes, midday rabbanon, hechi mishtiribu. How is it okay to put tzitzis on that semer upishtem yachtov? L'chayr, there's an iser, shatnez. What are you going to tell me? You're doing a mitzvah? No, you're doing a mitzvah derabbanon. A mitzvah's eset derabbanon can't be doicha. Aloysa say dairaisa. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman's going to tell you, Eima oit semer oit pishtem. The way you're learning the Braisa, I don't have to agree with. And I think when the Braisa says v'kulon tzemer u'pishten poitrim behem, it means other tzemer, other pishten. But enochinami, it doesn't mean both. And then Rav Nachman continued. He said hochinami mistaber. I think it's actually mistaber that way. The Ketani Seifa. Because if you look at that Braisa, the Braisa goes even further. Right, this is already the Seifa of the Seifa. So the Seifa continues and says, Hein b'minam poitrim, shaloi b'minam ein poitrim. That as it relates to hein, if you want to make tzitzis that are made of meshi, that are made of this silk. So bim minam poitrin, if the beged is made of silk, then it's okay. Shalai bim minam ein poitrin. So he said, yeah, bishlami the rabbanon. Bishlami, if you're going to tell me that the whole silk business is a din the rabbanon, hainu the miftri bim minam, then I understand why it works. Meaning, if the whole chiv to put tzitzis on a beged shal meshi, a beged that silk, is only a chiv the rabbanon. So I understand why I could take tzitzis that are silk and use it. Eli, amrit dairaisa. But if you're going to tell me that the chiv to put tzitzis on a beggar that silk is a chiv deiraisa, tzemer upishten hu depater, then I should have to have dafka tzemer upishten. Why is it okay, said Rav Nachman, for me to take tzitzis that are made of silk and put it on a beggar that silk? Don't tzitzis have to be tzemer upishten? I think tzitzis have to be tzemer upishten. And if that's the case, why is it okay? Oh, must be, because the whole chiv tzitzis is anyways by silk only midrabanon. I mean that the whole chiv is only midrabanon, so it's for that reason I can use tzitzis that are not tzitzis, but they rice, only midrabban. Now, where did Rav Nachman even get this einfalt that the tzitzis should have to be tzemer upishten? So Rashi says, because he probably darshan the smichos. Loy silba shatnez tzemer upishten yacht. But then it says, gdilam tasloch. But Rav Nachman is like making this massive. The Gemara is going to reject Rav Nachman's hanoch in a second. It's almost hard to chap the Gemara in real time because we learned 10 times that that's not the way it is. Akonof min konof, right? So the Gemara is going to say that. But the bottom line is, Rav Nachman is saying that, as far as I'm concerned, tzitzis has to be made of tzemer upishten. And if tzitzis has to be made of tzemer upishten, and you see that you can make tzitzis of silk for a beggar, that silk must be a beggar of silk, is only chayv d'rabban. So fakir Rav Nachman said, you brought Isvei Rav the Rav Nachman, you brought this braisa to like ask kashas on me. Look at the safe of the safe of the Braisa. This Braisa is the biggest raya in the world to me. But the Gemara says, no, it's not true. If this is Rav Nachman's Graisa, Hachinam, Mestar, but there's no raya at all, because I can tell you, Kedir Rava, it's based on something Rava said. And by the way, that's why Rava Lishitasa is asking the Kasha on Rav Nachman, because Rava is the Baal Memra. The Rava Rami, Rava asks the steer, except the Pasuk says, Akonav bin Konav. Fixed even, it said Semeru Pishtim, right? He acknowledged the fact that it said Semeru Pishtim. Okay, it said Semeru Pishtim, Paitim, Baim, Minim, Shalim, Minim. Semeru Pishtim always Pater, Shar, Minim, Minim, Paitim, Shalim, Minim, Ain, Paitim. But when it comes to Shar, the bottom line is, there's no hachinami mistabra over here from the safe of the safe of this braisa. So what are we really left with? What we're left with was that Rav Yehuda said that all begadim are chayiv and tzitzis, right? Not only tzemer upishten, all begadim are chayiv and tzitzis. In fact, chutei tzemer upishten, poitrim v'chamakim, and it's even mashma, you could be ma'ar of them together, which is a raya that other begadim are chayiv and tzitzis midda iraisa, because otherwise you would have a shatness problem when you take the iruv of the tzitzis themselves of tzemer upishten. Must be because I say the chalese, must be the chayiv and tzitzis midda iraisa. Okay. Rav Nachman was chaylik. Rav Nachman said, Hashiroyim p'turim min atzitzis. The Gemara brought a braisa. The reason the Gemara brought the braisa was to ask, to fire away in Rav Nachman. It was Esevei, Rav of Nachman. Right, the whole braisa sounded not like Rav Nachman. Hashiroyim ha-kelech v'asarikin kulun chayovim b'tzitzis. Right? I mean, doesn't it sound not like Rav Nachman? Nachman says no. Maybe that's only midrabanan. Yeah, but look at the next line. V'kulun tzemeru pishtim poitim bahen. Which sounds like, for sure, it's chayim midei raisa. Because otherwise, how could you take tzemeru pishtim together? You're going to be over this Hashanah. It's almost be Aseiz Lechalaisa say, but that's only true if silk is chayiv and tzitzis midei raisa. Nachman said, I'm not in a spot from that, because maybe when we say V'kulon Semer U'Pishten, it means Oit Semer U'Pishten. So even though the first part of the Braisa sounded very much like Rav Nachman, I mean, major neon lights, Chayav B'Tzitzis with the Rabbanan. The next part also, you see that it could be Doicha Shatnez. No, you don't. Maybe it's Oit Semer U'Pishten. If you put them together, not. The third part of the Braisa, ironically, the Gemara said Rav Nachman brought as a raya to his shita, right? Rav Nachman said, "Ochinami mesabra." I think I have a raya from the sefer. What was the raya from the sefer? The raya from the sefer was from the fact that if you have a beged that's silk, you can make tzitzis of silk. And Rav Nachman made this hanocha that tzitzis has to be tzemer u'pishne. So how could you use silk? Oh, must be because the whole chiv is only the rabbanon. So the chiv is the rabbanon. So no, for the rabbanon, it could be the rabbanon. The gemara was doich Rav Nachman's raya because it's not true. Akonof min konof. There's two options: tzemer u'pishne or akonof min konof. There is a maila. There's a benefit to Tzemer U'Pishten because that path is everything, as opposed to Akonav and Konav only works for Akonav and Konav. But at the same time, Ahochinami Mistaber, right, to Rav Nachman, that you don't have. So at the end of the day, we had a Braisa that was made up of three parts, setting up the Cheshman for the last leg of the Gemara. The first two parts seem to be a greiser raya to Rav Yehuda, not like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was Deichet. Third part was a little bit of a raya, just a Havamin of a raya to Rav Nachman. The Gemara was doicha that. Zok the Gemara. V'Rav Nachman. So what's Takav Shan Rav Nachman? Now, in the flow of the Gemara, right, we purposely chazed this. In the flow of the Gemara, what do you mean? What's, I don't know, Pshan Rav Nachman is whatever Pshan Rav Nachman is. All of a sudden, now we woke up, what's Pshan Rav Nachman? So if you take a look at Rashi, it's very subtle in Rashi, but if you look at the Mefarshi Rashi, it's very clear. And that is, the Gemara's tining that Rav Nachman is really saying a very big chiddush. To us, Rav Nachman is saying a chiddush, that a beged that's not made of tzemer u'pishten, l'chayiv and tzitzis. Sounds like a very, very big chiddush. Bishloima, if Rav Nachman had a raya from a braisa, if he had a hochinami mistabra from a braisa, this is the way it is. So I would understand where the Amir of Nachman took the places to say such a chiddush. But now that the Gemara was doicha the hochinami mistabra of Rav Nachman, so I don't know any makar to Rav Nachman. So if that's the case, tain is the Gemara of Rav Nachman. What's taka pshat? So the Gemara could determine the Rabbi Shmuel. It's based on a braisa that was taught in the yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel. Tani Rabbi Shmuel, how never begotten by Torah Stam? It says the word begotten in the Torah Stam. Where? So Rashi says it says in the parish of Tzitzis, Akan Fevig Deh. But really, to be honest, this is something that comes up in other sugis of Shas as well. It says it many times. The Torah says the word begotten many times in the Torah. Upart l'cha kasa be'echel mihem. And this one time the Torah was mefaret. It says beged and it tells you what type of beged. And what does the Torah say? It says Tzemer U'Pishten, right? It says Tzemer U'Pishten. What does it say Tzemer U'Pishten? So Rashi says Bekalayim and by Negoyim. So it says Tzemer U'Pishten. So from there I learn I've called Tzemer U'Pishten. Every time it says the word Beged, it means Tzemer U'Pishten. What does it say by Tzitzis? Al Kanfei Bigdeyem. Oh, what beged has to be Tzemer U'Pishten? That's the Makar to Rav Nachman. So you wonder how Rav Nachman knew that only a beged of Tzemer U'Pishten, not a beged of Shirayim? It's because it says, Al Kanfei Bigdeyem. Amr Abayah said, V'hai Tana Dever Rabbi Shmuel, Mafka Mi'idach Tana Dever Rabbi Shmuel. This is the Tana Dever Rabbi Shmuel that says every time it says beged, it means Tzemer U'Pishten. There's another Tana Dever Rabbi Shmuel that's the loik of this Tana Dever Rabbi Shmuel. Meaning there were two Tanaim that came from the same yeshiva and they had a shayla. They seem to be at odds in terms of what exactly Tanav Rabbi Shmuel held regarding this topic. Why? Because there's another Tanav Rabbi Shmuel that addresses this and comes out different. Tanav Rabbi Shmuel beged, ainli ela beged tzemer. I mean, neither rabbi's tzemer gemalim. So this word beged, it says in the parish of Tzaras, v'abeged kia b'yneged tzaras, b'beged tzemer, oy b'beged pishten. Right, this is one of the places where the Torah says the word beged, and it says mefurish tzemer u'pishten. Right, again, v'abeged kia b'yneged tzaras, b'beged tzemer, oy b'beged pishten. Says Tanav Rabbi Shmuel, that from the fact that it says beged tzemer, beged pishten, I would think tafket tzemer u'pishten. Minayin l'rabbi tzemer gemalim, the wool of camels, which is not regular wool, v'tzemer arnovim, or rabbit wool, v'noitza shalizin, or the hair of izim, of goats, v'akelach v'atzrikav ashirayim, or different types of silks, minayin, how do I know that as well? Talmud loymar oy beged. It says the word oy, and from the word oy, I know it to be marbe that as well. So here I have another Tani de Rabbi Shmuel that says just the opposite. That even though the Torah was mefarek, that what's the definition of a beged? It's tzemer u'pishten. That's true, the Torah did that. But at the same time, I also have a word oy that's mar. But bottom line is, it seems to be a stira between these two in Tanav Rabbi Shmuel's. And the Gemara just concludes with this observation. Either way, a lot happened in today's daf, right? A lot. But as it relates to the very, very last leg of the daf, right? Last two thirds of an amid, we had this big shaila over here in terms of what types of begotten machayev and tzitzis. According to Rav Yehuda, all begadim are chayv and tzitzis. According to Rav Nachman, it's only begadim that are tzemer upishtim that are chayv and tzitzis. Now, it's pretty obvious that this machloikis right here is what lends itself to the whole wool tzitzis inyan. That is, could you have cotton tzitzis, right? Is cotton tzitzis okay or is it not okay? It's sugi eshas. This is mamish the sugi right here. It's mamish totally in this inyan, right? What type of beged is chayv and tzitzis? If it has to be linen or wool, well, if your beged is not made of linen or wool, you're not going to be mekayim your mitzvah tzitzis midayraisa. If, however, no, even tzemer gmalim and tzemer arnavim and noitza shalizin, kelach, srikin shirayim, or cotton are chayv and tzitzis, then you wouldn't have to wear proverbial wool tzitzis. Plays itself out very much in this Gemara. This is a sugya rucha. We have raid bites from yesteryear, but for now, it's clearly late, early. We're a little bit behind, so we are going to stop here.